Here comes Chazzeri, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazzeri flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Jensen, UCLA. Chazzeri goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, the greatest furniture store on the planet. Yes, Fashion Furniture. The Pag Meter, Matt Johnson. If you don't get fired up on that pregame opening, Matt, then the terrorists win.
This is why we do local sports.
That, I got goosebumps again thinking about that play. Chazzeri driving down with 3.2 seconds and lays it in. What a game and great job on your part.
You too, my friend. I get goose. What do you call it? Goosebumps. I get goosebumps too. Just looking at that pile of potato chips you've put in front of your plate. I mean, I don't know if you.
Hey,
that's the largest individual bag of chips I've ever seen.
The Lays people shoved them in this one.
They went,
go about three quarters or
there's
a half.
There's about 2 ounces of something in there. They went with the less size than the big family picnic size down between that area, and that's where you went with the chip.
Well, Matty, we're at Fashion Furniture.
Yes, we are.
They had a fantastic Easter holiday, and they keep it going. So get on over here to Fashion Furniture. They got price, they got sales, they got your budget. What don't they have, Matt?
Whatever they don't have, you don't need.
That's right. But they got the professionals will take care of your household. If you have a room you want to work on, they get that measuring, and they'll say, yeah, that'll fit perfect in there.
Went out one time many, many years ago. I remember trying to get sizing and measurements, and they looked at me as the customer. You don't have a tape? Well, I didn't bring a tape. Let me go see if I – you ask them, and they pull it from their tool belt like Batman. What do you need? Am I measuring it? What's the size of your room? Let's get – give me a picture. I can tell you the color schemes. The greatest group of professionals right here at Fashion Furniture, they'll help you in every way.
Yeah, like I said before, if you're going to go to a furniture store and you pull in and there's a guy with a rabbit suit out there with an arrow pointing to come in here, probably a wrong move to go to that furniture store because they're almost ready to go bye-bye.
Well, could be a red flag. Although I have seen the mechanical corner. Have you seen the mechanical units? Which segues into our Madtown Madera Robotics World Championship team we'll be talking to a little bit later in the show. But now they have the robotic mannequin out front that just twirls it.
Yeah.
Instead of having a live body out in the corner at 120 degrees.
I see that at apartment buildings.
Yeah.
They have it.
Yeah.
They save on balloons and helium, I guess. Mm-hmm. They get that guy out there and he's spinning stuff. But, yeah, well, we were a little confused on the robotics. So when the Pag Meter says you are the Valley champs over a section champ, well, the Madera Madtown Coyotes are the world champions. They're in the top division. We learned a lot.
Yeah, we did. We did. You know, we've introduced as a sport, truly, from the days of one of my best friends, my roommate in college, Sean Salisbury, was one of the founding fathers and was the voice for the robotic competition, BattleBots. I don't know if you remember that on cable television, but BattleBots. I was always intrigued with these pieces of machinery that people designed to take on other robots that someone else designed, and then having that as a competition. Well, that is alive and well in the world of high school sports and team activities, and that's the robotics team, as you said, out of Madera. Madtown Robotics, the world champions, came back from Houston. They were the favorites going in, and they came home with the world championship.
And they barely beat out the Italians, which is a good win.
Well, the Italians didn't. They didn't qualify. The Italians never got out of their own region.
Neighborhood.
They never even got close to qualifying in the European championships, let alone getting to the United States for the world championships. They're pretty good at pasta.
Yeah.
And they do pretty good in the automobile world, I must say.
I'm thinking
there's some engineering genius going on in the country of Italy.
I'm sure Vivian has a few Italian shoes at home in her closet. We do well in shoes.
Do well in shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, you do.
And clothes, I'm sure.
Designer clothes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, maybe we don't care about...
You did good in conquering of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the Romans were, for a while there, was the civilization that everyone wanted to be like.
And, of course, an Italian discovered the United States. And,
until the Dothrakis.
That's how we roll.
When the Dothrakis took over and the barbarians came, the Italians were cooked. Because with all of their civilization, they lacked one certain element. Toughness.
Well, Matt, we're lovers. We're lovers, not fighters.
I see that.
And we're going to take that in.
But, Matt,
we're also going to talk. I want to give some thanks because this Man of the Year lymphoma thing is over tomorrow. There's some teams I want to thank.
Yes.
And they're going to give plenty of love for them forever. But Kerman, the Boosters Club, came in big for the Pag Meter.
Nicely.
Kerman Lions, you know, I'm always their MC, all their. They've got a lifetime
class operation, anything in Kerman. I love that sense of community that they have, but they translate that out to the field of athletics. Awesome.
John Chambers, thank you so much for getting that going. Really helped out the Pag Meter. Ryan Smith, the Clovis East baseball coach, came through. Thank you. Yosef Ferris, great job. The new Bullard coordinator, defensive coordinator for the Bullard Knights.
And co-head coach.
Yeah, co-head coach.
Not sell his title short.
No, and Coach Rosnowski, the San Joaquin Memorial Panthers basketball team, those guys, great job.
Coach Rosnowski, San Joaquin Memorial High School, everything they do over there, first class.
First class.
Love their operation.
You know, we might say things over, I mean, but we love Memorial. We might say things that they get upset about, but that's what we do.
Well, yeah, you went from an area of where you were a little critical. You've got some blood from the past. It always seems like there was something going on between Bullard and San Joaquin. But over time, after me beating you down a little bit, I think you've come around to the way of thinking of there's nothing wrong with the way they operate. It just has to do with what you've made clear. Operate that way. Go for it. Love it. We need a Central Valley representative in the private professional world. Why not let it be San Joaquin? But step up and play schools that are in your category of talent.
But make no mistake, if I was at Memorial, I would have a Hulk Hogan costume on out in front with an arrow pointing, go to Memorial. No question. I'd be doing the same thing. I just want them to play where they need to play, not against, they need to move up. And they're going to slowly move up. They will.
But they are, as you said, very aware of what goes on in our valley, and when there's cause and need, you have to love, obviously, the church, the school, and everything they stand for. Thank you, San Joaquin Memorial.
Yeah, and I would think, though, over you and I do so much for high school sports that maybe some people, some schools would give even $10, whatever, to the man of the year. So you still can. We got one more day. If you want to go to my page, MWOY, pagmeter.org. It's pretty easy. MWOY, pagmeter.org. Go in there. It's on my Twitter as well. But, Matt, today we're going to talk
about. By the way, might I point out that, you know, amongst number one, love your Adidas shirt you're wearing. And for the first time, maybe we should do these type of events more often because you're looking trim and in fighting shape right now.
At you. You know, Matt.
You raised your arm and I actually saw a little bit of the tone was popping through the tricep.
Well, it's baseball season.
Is it baseball season?
But all I know is spring sprung already. It's 94, 96 today.
Yeah, today will be 96, 97, 98.
I mean, is it going to be the rest until
I hope
August?
So. I love it. If it just stays in that 92 to 98 range. Is warm, but very good for athletes to train in. Love the weather.
So it's track season weather.
Well, it's for running fast.
Yeah.
Track season, when the weather heats up, the air gets thinner, and the speeds get fast. So perfect timing for the world of track and field. It's tough to run real fast when it's cold outside.
Well, we're going to catch up. We're going to make a call to Eric Solberg today in probably the next segment because I want to talk about the world colleges versus high school student athletes, and I'm talking about scholarships and the games played, and nobody knows more than Matt Johnson how the game is played. So, for example, let's look at the college side of it.
Yep.
And I see baseball schools do it. They'll go out and verbally commit many, many, many players.
They'll overbook like a world class airline does.
But Mitch, and they know they're not going to get all those players. They go out and recruit, and just like baseball or football or basketball or anything else, maybe I say, you know what, I verbally committed to school A. Let's say I want verbally committed to USC or whatever the case would be. But deep in the back of the mind, have I really officially committed? So tell us, everyone, about the game and we're going to get into this.
What gets the conversation started is when I first originally started hearing about early committals and all these mass scholarships that are being offered by certain institutions. Not all the universities do it that way, but there are so many. And right now is recruiting season for football for the 2019 class. And they're looking at 2020. So the colleges are
Wait, before you go on. So if a college comes in and talks to somebody, they can verbally commit now, but they don't sign until February?
Yeah, well, there's two signing dates now, but yes, they wait until their official signing day to sign, but verbal commitments, verbal offers are going out all over the place. We'd like to offer you. We'd like to offer you, offer you, offer you. Then the young man or woman gets on their Twitter page or whatever and says, I want to thank this school because I've now got my second offer, offer, okay? And I used to think, what would happen if these student-athletes decided to say, forget the offer, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm declaring to the world on my account, on my Twitter, Facebook, that I'm accepting your offer. I will be attending school A. And then that school would have to go back to the drawing board and realize, well, let's hope that not a lot more decide to accept. Because what are they going to do if they have 56 people accepting and they only have 25 scholarships to give? They're going to be in a pickle. But I found out for the first time this week, while the colleges are visiting me and talking about the area talent, not just at my school, but everywhere.
Well, you're the new guy.
Well, they come and they want to get the lay of the land. I love that. But I'm hearing that there are schools that overcommit or overoffer beyond any reasonable amount. But they are now saying, as it plays out, we're going to have to pull our offer. I didn't think colleges could pull offers like that, but apparently it happens all over the place. So that was my number one thing I discovered, because I felt like if you offer my son and my son says yes, and then you find out that you're in the sweepstakes for the number one rated running back in America, and my kid was ranked like number 18, and they have an opportunity to get that guy, what are they going to do with the other guy? Can't do that, because that would make them look bad that they offered someone and they pulled it. But indeed, in fact, they do pull scholarships and go in a different direction.
And make no mistake about it. Let's say if Bob Kajanian says, I am verbally committing to go to UCLA. And if they're all set and he's excited, ramming balloons at the pizza party.
And Bob Kajanian is the kind of talent that UCLA would like to see.
But what I'm saying is, it's no difference if Matt and I wanted to go buy a car. We go to the car lot, we say, I want that 2020 model. Yes, we can negotiate a price, $33,111. Yes, we go in the office. Now the game starts.
Yeah.
Because now you got to go through the credit check. So just because you verbally committed or offered,
that doesn't mean
you still got to go through the time, the process of accepting. Hey, maybe his SAT scores didn't come through.
Does not carry the weight that most of us, including myself, thought of when this whole crazy early offer thing and all that started. And what it really boils down to me, for a lot of athletes, I won't give out names, but there are four names in our valley right now that have been offered by very substantial, large FBS Power 5 conference schools. And I would say to them, say yes right now. What are you waiting on? Because I see their stock plummeting as I talk to more and more colleges about, they do have that offer in the Pac-12, but that school does that to a lot of athletes, and that person they're talking about in the eyes of a lot of these recruiters will not match up. So I would, as a parent, tell my son or daughter, University of Oregon? You want me to go? University of Oregon has offered me? I accept. Make it public. And put the school on notice. Therefore, if they do have to pull out, it's going to be a little bit harder for the university to pull out. Because like I said, there's four athletes in our valley right now, football players that have been offered, and the word I'm getting from other colleges is they're starting to go cold on them.
Well,
but they never accepted the offer. They just put it on their little list. I'm proud to announce I've got my 18th offer. Some of those offers are disingenuous, and I would hope that the student athlete would accept those offers, because here's the rub. You can accept, and then you can pull out at the end. You're putting all the onus on the university. Take a little bit of ownership yourself, student-athlete, and say, yes, I'll go. And then let the whole process play out so you don't get caught watching the paint dry at the end of the process.
Well, we know Alabama does that a lot, especially with quarterbacks. They offer 30 quarterbacks. They know they just offer them. And maybe we'll get one or two that way.
Well, because they'll know that the weak player in the mind. I say the weak-minded student athlete will say, "Oh, they just offered Tua. I don't want to go there. I can't compete with that guy." And then they get the last four or five, and those are the top shelf, because not only are they willing to go up against the number two ranked quarterback in a country because they believe they're better than that quarterback, then you know you've got a real competitor. And speaking of Alabama and schools like Alabama, there's not many like them. They have such an advantage, because I'm hoping what you get into in this whole recruiting and scholarship world is that, for instance, the world of baseball for the men's game, they're only allowed to get 11.7 scholarship athletes on their roster. How in the world can you develop a national player in baseball with only 11.7? And I believe this is why you see programs that have lower tuition costs, a state college, a Fresno State, if you will. The private schools are out of that picture. I think that's the most criminal act, is that the NCAA and the powers that be are legislating to universities how many scholarships you can give. Because the Alabamas of the world will continue to thrive because they got all the revenue. And all the revenue helps them build great ballparks, great locker rooms, great facilities, when the smaller school can't offer that. So the NCAA comes in and says, we're going to legislate and only allow you to get so many scholarships. It doesn't hurt the big boy. He doesn't care, unless he's a private big boy where tuitions are $60,000 and above per year. So I don't think they're creating a world of competition by the liberal NCAA and how they've legislated college athletics. I think it's an absolute joke.
Then we just find out that in college baseball, they can't have that third coach on the payroll. So he's got to be a voluntary guy. So here you are trying to run a national power baseball program, and you can't get that extra coach in.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
It's the world of what we see in everything in life. And sports and politics at times do not mix, but in this particular discussion they do, because there's that whole socialism aspect that everyone must be equal to the same. This country has been based on the haves and have-nots, whether you like it or not. And the big boys keep getting richer, and the littler programs have to learn how to survive. But the problem is the NCAA, as we go to break, can't try to legislate both.
Well, then they have that the financial aid is another aspect. They try to work that in. Just extra ways of getting your kid in the program. Let's take a break. Maybe we'll try to catch up with Eric Solberg right now. Just ask him a few questions, because we know Chet Allison, the superstar Fresno City Rams, former Clovis Cougars, going to Arkansas.
Yep.
We're going to find out how that all took place. Don't go anywhere. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture.
We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Really the greatest furniture in the state of California. It's right here on Blackstone, El Paso Blackstone. You can't miss it. It is huge. Bring comfortable shoes when you come in here, because you're going to do a lot of walking. And make sure, if you bring your wife in, she has her phone with her, because you might need a GPS in here. Honey, I lost you. I'm in the area where the beds are. I don't know. I can't see you. You get lost in here, Matt Johnson.
You do. And the Madtown Robotics, Madera, is here. They just to answer your point, they're lost. They're out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Where are you? We're inside. In the back, what would you call this?
Far right of the store, the studio.
Well, far right of whichever side you come in, which would be west. We're in the far southwest part of the palatial palace they call Fashion Furniture.
That's what, and a guy who's been in here a lot, I think he's bought his entire house of furniture, is Mr. the Fresno City Rams baseball coach, and of course the legendary soccer coach for the Rams, Eric Solberg. Coach Eric, how are you?
Speaking of being lost, we're driving through the Tehachapis right now, headed to so for a couple games, so
yeah
I could lose you guys, but hopefully not.
Well, real fast,
We're just, we've got a couple games. We're tied for first with three-way tie with COS and Tafts, and hoping to win the next two and see where all the chips fall.
Well, you guys are starting to peak at the right time. I want to talk about Chet Allison, the former Clovis Cougar who just signed with Arkansas. Tell me about how that went down, because we're talking scholarships today. We know baseball, 11.7 scholarships divided by the entire roster. How did that work out?
Well, you know, Chet's had a tremendous year this year, and a lot of people are on him. And, you know, we're not probably scouted quite as much as we used to be, but we are scouted pretty heavy, and he's been getting looks. And then, you know, the Arkansas program has watched our program a little bit more the last few years, kind of the relationship with Courtney Scott, their head softball coach, Ron's daughter. So, you know, I think Ron has met their coach, and so they followed us a little bit. And University of Houston was out last week. Arkansas was out last week watching them. A number of West Coast schools have watched them. And then he just kind of went off in front of those at the right time with those guys, and then they jumped on him and made him their largest offer that they offer, and he's verbally committed to them.
So talking with Eric Solberg, Fresno City Rams pitching coach. So when it comes to something like that, and a lot of the baseball, do you start looking at financial aid as well? Just get the full package going for players.
Yeah, you know, and everything I'm saying, I don't know the exact, you know, particulars of all the NCAA rules, but, you know, I know financial aid is a factor that, you know, if you can get financial aid, then you don't have to offer scholarships, right? But, in baseball seems to be less motivated on that, or less apt to have, financial aid players, it seems like, in California anyway, than for instance, like soccer, you know, and I think it's just the nature of the sport sometimes and the culture of the sports. But yeah, if you can package financial aid with some of the scholarships, and then the kid winds up getting, you know, almost the whole school paid for. But in baseball, I think they take those 11.7s. This is just from the few conversations I've had with Division I guys. They spread that out over about 25 guys. So a lot of baseball players will say, hey, again, I'm getting a full ride there, and they're getting, you know, books and tuition, which is a full ride from the standpoint of, you know, they're not paying for their school. But a full ride at a college university is based on, to my knowledge, based on what it costs to live in the dorm, two meals a day at the cafeteria, plus books and tuition. So that winds up being a lot of money. And then if you don't live in the dorm, then you get a check cut to you once a month.
Which is is the way I like to do it there, Coach. This is Matt Johnson. Be safe on this trip you're having through the Tehachapis. But yeah, according to the NCAA, Division I colleges, which Arkansas would sit in, they, as you said, they get 11.7 scholarships. Interesting figures that I had looked up over the last few years is for football, but you can break those down and spread it all over the team, but you have to give a minimum of 25% of that
right.
money. So you can't give a kid 3%, and he gets 8%, and you get 13%, and then your big slugger gets 52%. It has to be 25% or more, and you're only limited to 27 athletes on your baseball roster. Does that sound like a pretty good number, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the junior colleges usually carry a little bit more than that, I think, because we can. But, yeah, now when you say the 27, is that restricted to scholarships or to total roster?
No, to the total roster at 27 is what it reads in the
– That's a low number. I know when I played at Fresno State, which was 75 years ago, it seems like, but we were allowed to carry – into the NC2A regionals, 22 people. Now that number has been changed since I played, but that's 22 guys is not enough to go into an NC2A regional. You know, just from a pitching standpoint, we used to go into those four team regionals with six pitchers because you have to carry so many other guys. But you know, times have changed, I think, a little bit, and pitchers have changed too. They're more specialized, so you have to carry more. I think that number's up to like 25.
I was going to say that. I would say that's funny that you typically, at least in the world of college football, the numbers are taken away. But in baseball, I think probably because the way, as you said, the pitching game works with all these different arms you have to have in different situations, they added it, as you say, simply for pitching.
Probably so. To me, baseball is tremendously underfunded. You know, at the Division I level for scholarships.
Yep.
I mean, that is the problem. And that's
crazy.
Why, you know, sometimes, you know, you make a call and say, hey, you want Chet Allison, you know, you call school, you know, and they do want him, but they go, geez, we don't, you know, we just don't have any money. And so they know they can't. Some of the bigger schools to me, hold a scholarship or two back, you know, so when in the, a lot of guys offer the scholarships and they're done in November for the following year. But some of the bigger schools seems to, offer or hold a scholarship or two back for the spring for the guys like Chet Allison that are going off, you know, and they have been missed. Yeah. The other thing that does happen out there, and I don't know the rules on this, but, you know, some of these schools offer more scholarships than they have. And then, you know, play the roll of the dice, so to speak, with the cards. And I even asked this of a coach a while back, not a local coach, so I don't want – it wasn't Fresno State, but it was somebody else that I was in contact with at a California school. And I said, well, what happens if they don't sign and you're over? He goes, well, you know, we have to work it out by January, was this person's comment. So I said, that means you're over scholarship in the fall. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I guess. And I said, that doesn't seem like you can do that. And he didn't really have an answer. I left it at that. So I don't know if they can do that or not do that. But I do know there's schools that have some bad reputations on that every now and then. So, but, you know, that really isn't my avenue. But I do see a lot of that happens.
Well, and I'm guessing it's all governed by one single agency, the NCAA, and what goes for football or goes for girls basketball, whatever it might be, because there is a thing of the large institutions can, it used to be just simply paying it forward, but now it's turned into the blue shirt where I'll take a guy like Chet out of state, tuition's going to be higher and all that, but I'll take Chet Allison in a heartbeat, but I'm going to blue shirt him, meaning when school starts, he doesn't get any of the benefits of anything going on. He has to maybe even continue education elsewhere. But when school starts, we bring him on, and he becomes a scholarship athlete with that scholarship counting against the next recruiting class. So now he's officially in school, and now we take care of him. A lot of funny things they can do. But to me, it says volumes about Chet Allison, your ball player, for a school like Arkansas, because, like I said, it costs a lot more money for an out-of-state kid to go to a school like that. So clearly he's a very special talent.
Yeah, you know, JC baseball's a little bit different than it used to be, and somebody asked me, how does he stack up with players from the old days? And I said, you know, it's hard to tell. The pitching's maybe not quite as good as it used to be, but, boy, when, you know, visually he stacks up as well as anybody, spends a lot of, you know, time in the weight room, such a good kid, too. He's quiet, goes about his business, and, he's going to actually fly to Arkansas this weekend for his official visit. You know, they're drawing close to, I know last weekend they were drawing almost 10,000 a game. So it's tough not to go to an SEC school when you have all this in front of you. So it's a great reward for him. You know, and then this ups his draft value. He's a guy that's been, all of a sudden, people are on him pretty hard in the draft. So, we'll see what happens for him, but he's in a great position.
Well, Coach, best of luck today.
Out of him.
Yeah, you do. Best of luck today, and hopefully you can win the league and get a good high seed in the tournament.
We're going to give it a go anyway. It's beautiful out here in the desert.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll have you and Coach Ron and Scott on soon. We'll talk plenty of baseball during the summer. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Have a good day.
You too.
Yeah, it is, Matt. Like you said, it's sometimes it's a game. These guys overcommit, and then, for example, football.
Yep.
Kendall Milton,
yep,
the highest recruit we have around here. He's probably got 40 or something. And you know, there's probably 30 of those colleges thinking in the room, we got no chance at him.
Yep.
So they're probably already penciling him off. But it looks good that they offered.
Yeah.
So they got to start going to Plan B. I mean, it'd be great if he called up and go, "Yep, I'm coming to your way."
Exactly. So, my point is for those who are in that beautiful position of Mr. Milton at Buchanan. Well, obviously, his play on the field, his stature, his abilities in the classroom, have paid dividends. He's clearly blessed. There's just no question about it. When I talk about players being too patient and not accepting, when a big-time university comes to you and offers you, there are a few that, like I said, I'm not in the business of giving out names, that in my opinion should immediately say, you want to do what? You're going to, Mom, Dad, we're going to school A. Now, once it gets down to National Signing Day, that athlete, student-athlete, has the option to say, you know what, I'm pulling out of my verbal offer to you. Don't let the university control your destiny. Take charge of it yourself. If I had, let's go back in time, and let's say I had 20 offers on the table from schools that were all looking to me to become a player for them, I would have already accepted 5 or 10 of them. I would have said, sure, I'm coming. Now, they're going to find out because of today's social media that I'm cutting deals with other universities. And what I say to those universities, you doggone right I am. Because are you really, really, really looking out for my best interest? You have to take care of the young student-athlete, because I've seen countless examples of one of my student-athletes say, Coach, I got an offer from this school. Accept it. Well, I'm really hoping I can get an offer from UCLA. Why wait? Get it out there, because a lot of those athletes that I used to represent, specifically at Edison, waited too long, and that other school moved on and went on to the next player. And at the end of it all, they're wondering, Coach, can you help me get back? No, that ship sailed. But yet the colleges will sit in the room, which I didn't think they were in the business of doing, and not all of them probably do, but they will break their commitment to you in a heartbeat. If they oversold, they're only allowed by NCAA rules to take in so many. So if they overbook their plane, if you will, they can, and they are, because I've got this from other college coaches. They're in a position now to make that call, and it's tough, but say, look, we have to move on.
And, Matt, we talk to many colleges. They say, we start recruiting once the other kid verbally commits, because that's when we really go after them.
Well, that's the other side.
Unbelievable.
The kid on Twitter says, I'm so happy to announce I'm going to USC, but he hasn't officially inked the deal yet. So those other colleges, they don't say, out of respect for that school, let's leave the kid alone. Oh, no. They double ramp up their efforts
to get
in.
They're piranhas now.
One of the coaches who was with me was making his trek down to Southern California because the guy they thought they had wrapped up is now having second thoughts about another university program. Time to get back in front of that kid and push up the effort.
Another good example is Trent Tompkins. He didn't want to play the game. He got a great offer from UC Davis, and he said, I'm going there. I know I probably can get other offers now since I'm on fire.
Yep.
But he verbally committed and said, I'm going with.
Take the offer. Trust in your abilities and go to the fine institution that preaches the academic and the athletic programs, and then go show them what you can do.
Before we go to break, you mentioned 11.7 scholarships.
11.7.
What is softball?
Softball gets, I want to say, 15.
15? And basketball is 13?
Basketball is 13.
And the reason why softball gets more.
Girls basketball, I believe, is also 15 or 16, 17.
I put that on Twitter, and I got a lot of emails. Why does softball get more than baseball? Well, because softball, you only need one or two, maybe three pitchers. You don't. Yep. Your roster is less.
Softball, simply, women's basketball, they get more for one reason, a little thing called Title IX. Gender equity program came out nationally through the federal government and through now the states. You have to do it. Why do you think they have equestrian and all these sports that require lots of female athletes to join in, lacrosse? Because football, a male-driven sport, gives out 85 a year. How is the girls' sports going to match up with a sport that gives out 85 scholarships? They had to bring more programs so they can get the equitable position between female scholarships and male scholarships.
And so
that's why
they take
when we
out
come back,
sports.
We'll start talking about another school that I know probably offers a good scholarships too, and that is robotics. And these guys might be in the e-gaming too because they're offering scholarships too. We'll be back. We're going to visit with the world champions from Madera High School. Madtown Robotics is in the house. We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Fashion Furniture, there is nothing like it in California, and they got this place decked out for your spring and summertime. Get your house ready. Come on over here, talk to the pros. And with the recliner section, even got some new ones out there, Matt.
You do. I always talk about reclining furniture. Used to be you'd sit in the reclining, your reclining sofa, and the person in the middle of the sofa, well, you don't get the feature of reclining. The people on the end caps of the sofa can recline. Well, now they've got sofas, and there's some beautiful ones here, that the whole thing reclines. I mean, you've got a place to put your legs all the way across the sofa, and that's what I have a particular interest in because I'm looking for that type of relaxation in my house.
Well, maybe our next guest can develop a
recliner. They could certainly tear a sofa apart and figure out how the motor works on the mechanism.
Yeah, get it to go 40 miles an hour as you're going to your sporting event. Let's bring them up now, Matt. Not too many times we get some Valley champs, we get some section champs, we got the world champions on the house, and talk to them for Madera.
Well, world champions, not only that, I mean, we probably, and the Pagmeter and I, as we introduce Madtown Robotics, do I have to say 323? Is that like, or excuse me, 32, what is it, 1323?
Yeah, it's 1323.
1323, that's like your scientific, that's officially on the book, or is it Madtown Robotics?
It's Madtown Robotics, 1323, but the numbers is like the order you get it. So the smaller the number, the older you are.
Okay, well, we're so proud to introduce Coach RC. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we got into this deal because all of a sudden, although my son, as I mentioned to the last robotics team we had on here, both my kids were heavily involved in robotics from the Lego, from the first moment where you've got to do that deal all the way up.
Right.
And I just fell in love with the sport. My roommate and godfather of my son, one of my best friends, Sean Salisbury, was one of the founding, not fathers, but started the whole business of BattleBots on television. He was the lead anchor, the voice of BattleBots on cable, which... Yeah, I'll never forget Vlad the Impaler. I don't know if you guys watch that stuff, but some crazy designs to take out the other robot. You're coming home from Houston. You went into Houston for this national championship run, but you were the number one ranked, or the world championship, number one ranked team in the world. You have a history, obviously, in Madera High School in robotics. Please introduce yourself, Coach, and how long has this been going on?
So my name is RC. I'm the lead mentor and coach for Madtown Robotics. I've been on the team for over a decade now. I graduated high school in 2010, started mentoring, and just been helping with the team since then.
And did you get a chance when you were younger to kind of be involved? What led you into the world of the robotics coach, the mentor for robotics?
I was basically a student on the team. Back in the day, we used to not be very good. We used to go to events, get one win, 10 losses, and that was a great event. I hate losing at anything. I'm super competitive. I played basketball through high school, played baseball. So for me, I just hate the aspect of losing.
Yes.
So my brother was on the team after I graduated, so I started helping because I'm like, man, I don't want you guys to suck too. So we started going, and the last couple of years we've been really darn good.
Well, first, before I even go any further, Coach, you speak. For any of you out there, I say, well, ESPN, The Rise, we've got robotics. What are you talking about? This is a highly competitive, let's go get it. The rules of engagement are no different than the world of football or any other athlete. You're a basketball guy.
Yeah.
And that confidence and that swag you've got, you can just feel it right now. So the competition is everyone gets a design element they have to come up with. The rules of the event will be this, and then you have to figure out how to tell us about it.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's a little bit different than sports. It's really competitive. But it's a little different because the game every year is different. So yep. Some years it's shooting frisbees. Some years it's climbing a rope. Some years it's doing, various tasks. So this year it was filling up a rocket ship and then climbing 20 inches off the ground. So, this year we just worked on the grind, got it done, and then we ended up pretty
good. Is there a clock involved that you've got to do within a time frame?
So it's 2 minutes, 15 seconds. You have 6 weeks to design and build the game. So it's pretty hardcore because you, from the day you see the game, you have 6 weeks to engineer, design, prototype, build, program, and test it. So it's like making a full product, start to finish, 6 weeks.
Wow. So it's not like they drop off by Amazon a box crate of tires and motors and mechanisms. You've got to come up with your own plan of how you want to accomplish the task.
Yep. And there's 4,000 teams worldwide.
4,000 teams worldwide. Does Italy have a squad that's worth anything?
Italy doesn't, but I think Australia does.
I just threw that out there. Oh, I was right. Thank you, Coach RC. Yeah. The Italians don't have a squad. They're good at automotive design. They've got a pretty good Ferrari is a class act. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, Coach. So, all right. So there's 4,000 teams.
Yeah, yeah.
All have in that 6-week window.
Pretty much.
To get it all in, and then you have to go out and test run this deal. How much time does that take to figure out how to get it where it's going?
Well, you got to get done 6 weeks, and you got to test it. And then you got another 6 weeks where you go out and compete.
Yeah.
So there's over 100-plus events across the world from the U.S., Canada, Mexico, China, Israel, Australia.
Yes.
So there's a ton of events. And then so basically they dwindle you down. If you win your event, you move on. And so this year we won both of our events. We went 31-0 undefeated. This is our second season in a row going undefeated in regional play.
Wow.
So we're very lucky that we did well this season and last season.
Yeah.
And then we went to the World Championships, ranked number one in the world going in.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing like anything else from Cub Scouts to you know what, the parents oversee. I was a scoutmaster, but I was not allowed to be the one doing it. These fine gentlemen here and a team of what, 15 on your roster?
Yeah, 15, 20 this year. 15 traveled with us, 20 were on the team.
Okay.
And we're hoping to get more that want to win.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah.
And you brought two gentlemen in here. Introduce these guys, and I'm going to talk to them a little bit about what their job is on this team.
So I got Roger Villagomez, who's our team captain and co-driver. And then I have John Akana, who's our main driver and co-captain on the team.
Okay. Well, let's start with John, or Roger, excuse me. Roger, how long have you been involved in this world of engineering and being mechanical and developing products like this?
So pretty much this is my fourth year on the team. I'm a senior currently, and I started my freshman year. So pretty much I got involved with it right away. So right after middle school, I went in. That summer, actually, my sister is the one that got me involved. She was like, hey, you know, I've been part of the team for 3 years now. I think it's really cool what they're doing, and it's just such a big leap that you get from the program, right?
Yep.
Not only just engineering and like STEM-based, but you get all these different types of skills that a lot of the school programs don't really teach you or don't necessarily have.
Yes. And obviously, to be a world champion requires – Coach used a little bit of luck, but I would imagine a lot more skill and time. And so when I'm on the campus of Madera High School checking out a basketball game or a wrestling match or whatever it might be, every time I walk that back little area from where I park my car out on the street there, I see a little light going on in this warehouse, this old warehouse. And I was introduced once to you guys as you were coming out. What kind of time do you put in for this type of an adventure?
It's a lot of time and a lot of work that goes into it, right?
Yep.
So pretty much we start from the beginning of the year until now, and we're still working even though you know we're ranked number one, we still have to be pretty much on that grind all year long. So right now, the new kids are training other kids for next year, right? We're trying to make sure they're prepared as we were this year, and we work like very hard after whenever school ends to like late at night. So we're there before the basketball games start and after.
Well, to ask a few of the questions that my colleague, the Pag Beater, I'm sure would like to ask, number one is during that late nights and then the flickering light of with your solder gun and you're putting things together, do the tensions run high? And you as a team leader, do you have to every now and say, drop the wrench, everyone up, we got to talk about this? How many times have you got to jump in there and show your maturity and leadership?
There's been a couple times this year, especially where, it's a group of guys, you know, we're all in a small, you know, area, and tensions do run high sometimes, but, you know, we just got to make sure that we, you know, we just act as a family, right? Because we spend most of our time together, so we got to make sure that we're able to cooperate with each other, right?
Yes.
If we don't work together, then we're definitely not going to work together on the field.
Absolutely. And now the controller, you're also one of the drivers, co-driver of this unit.
Yes.
Is it like I'm looking at my Xbox joysticks, or what does it resemble?
Yeah, so pretty much the way we operate or control our robot is through two Xbox One controllers. So one person's controlling the movement of the robot, and the other person's controlling pretty much everything else. So it's kind of like playing any video game, any like first-person shooter. One person, like one, is controlling the where you move and run, and the other person's going like the shooting, aiming, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Now, as you approach graduation, after graduation, what's your plan? What's your plan? Probably go right to work at, you know, whatever the local tech, you know, group is out there that does this type of stuff. Well, what's your plan?
Yeah, so my plan is obviously go to college, you know, because I was in this program pretty much my whole high school career. I want to go to mechanical engineering and minor in civil engineering. And, you know, I just want to kind of give back to, like, what the community gave so much to me. You know? Yeah, this program is, like, really, really has been beneficial for me, especially because there's so much stuff it just teaches you. Like I said, just beyond engineering in general. Like, we have to do our whole year-long plan as a team, figure out what we're going to do, because we only have 6 weeks to design everything. So pretty much start from top to bottom, right?
Yep.
So there's not a moment that we can waste, because if we do, we're going to fall behind.
Well, Roger, as we get ready to turn the microphone over to your sidekick and one of your teammates, John Akana, clearly, Nick, the ability to communicate and the ability to be a leader, which we discovered from Buchanan, which was very well spoken, same deal. Apparently, engineering types are very good in this type of world of broadcasting. Thank you so much, Roger. We'll talk to your coach as we finish, but let's talk with John Akana, who's also driver, and what are the elements, John, do you involve with in this project?
I'm pretty involved with a lot of the CAD design. I do a lot of prototyping for the team.
Okay, wait, your CAD design. You're already into CAD. You're
yeah.
Oh yeah, this is good. This guy can develop and
so it's a lot of 3D modeling.
Have you guys got like a proton laser cutter in that shop too, or how do you you guys cutting your own little pieces to build this thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is great. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do a lot of prototyping for the team.
Yep.
Also, I'm a big help with a lot of the manufacturing as well.
Yep.
I specifically run the lathe, and we do a lot of the shafts off there.
Okay. Well, that background music means we're going to get ready to take a break. We'll come back and finish up. We're visiting with world champion Matt Tan Robotics. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson here in the best furniture. It's about 71 degrees inside here and about 96 outside.
That's why we have air conditioning.
No question about it. But, you know, we our great warm-up on the start of the show with Shazare in the basket. 9,000 people at Selling Arena. May 7, or 17th and 18th at Bulldog over at Fresno State. Baseball and softball, the championships will be taking place. Baseball alone will be 4,000 people. Get 3,500, 4,000 people. Across the street, softball will be packed. There's nothing like high school sports here, and we'll keep you updated if we're going to be broadcasting any of those games. But, Matt, Fashion Furniture, the recliners, wow.
Giddy up, my friend.
And we're also going to talk after we finish up with the Madeira World Champion, Johnny Johnson, in the house. And when I think, when it's 96 degrees, of course, I think football, because that's what happens. Once you start talking football, the weather just goes crazy. We'll talk about the big football camp coming up May 11th in a few minutes, but, Matt, Madeira, the world champs are in the house, and I got to ask one question before we get back to coach. Who's the rival? Who's Madeira? Hey, you look across. I know the Italians were in there, but who don't you like? Come on.
Well, it's definitely one of the, we'd say it's like the two reigning champion last year, 2 years in a row.
What country?
They're actually in USA.
Oh.
So they're based in California. They are from the Silicon Valley. It's Bellarmine High School.
Bellarmine High. Private professional.
Private professional. You look at them and going, bring it, Bellarmine. You guys are the Bells. What
those
is
guys,
that?
Yeah, those guys are really
good. Bring it. That's what you got? You're bringing that in? Those are your uniform? Come on, there's trash talking going on, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's close. Yeah, got through it, Pack Meter. I knew. I wanted to save that question for you. Of course, he wants to know, during the Masters, were you talking trash? And during that World Championship run, did you talk trash? We finished last with John O'Connor. I wanted to give you the full respect due to you. But as one of the drivers, what's the hardest element in the precision of driving that robotic world champion that you have?
For me, I definitely think it's the fundamentals and just knowing and keeping those fundamentals compared to all the other drivers.
Yeah.
For me, I've been practicing for 4 years and I've gotten to know a lot of people and compete against a lot of really good drivers like the Cheesy Poos or the Citrus Circuits from Sacramento. And we just put on the grind, and the amount of work that we put in kind of goes to show on the field. So because
have you ever taken your controller and smashed it across your knee?
No, I've got left instead of right. But you know, just gotta keep it cool because the match is very fast.
Of course you do, John O'Connor. So. Congratulations to you, and what a fine example you are. Madera Unified doing a great job. Back to the head coach RC to close it off here. You've got a little thing going on, the parade, and when you're a world champion, you better have a parade, and they better give us the key to the city for you. I'll be there as an MC along with the Pag Meter this Saturday. Tell us about the event this Saturday morning.
So it starts at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
At Madera Unified.
Yep.
We hope to see everybody out there, and then we're going through Yosemite all the way to Madera High School.
All the way to Madera High School. And once you get to Madera High School, you'll be putting on a little video performance of the three matches, as I understand, that led to the championship. And Nick and I, during those breaks, after those basically three-minute contests, we'll be doing a little Q&A and emceeing that part of the event.
I'm thinking they need T-shirts. Chicks dig robotics.
Yeah. 1323.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
Well, I'm excited to see you guys on Saturday. It should be a big crowd out there.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Coach, I'd like to also congratulate you, and I know you had some opportunities. Now, when you're the world champ, you're getting calls probably from everybody. We need you to come out to the Chicago McCormick Place for the symposium on the robotics in America, and fast food restaurants need robotics. Everybody needs something. Now that you're a world champ, it just goes with it. You're now Bill Belichick. Everyone's probably calling on you, right?
I do get a lot of calls about asking robotics stuff all the time, actually.
I'm sure you do. I've got something I'm going to have you out in my house next week. I've got a little thing I need to repair in my back. Okay? But I want to thank you so much, Madtown 1323 World Champions. Thank you for coming by and visiting the show.
Thank you for having us.
You betcha.
Hey, so, Matt, these are the kind of guys that we keep talking. You know, minimum wage going up to $25 an hour. Come on, we gotta. You know, these are the kind of guys who are going to be building the robots.
Well, this is $25
an hour.
This is why
less work. Well, I'm just saying, there's going to be less labor going on because guys like this can build robots to cook hamburgers, to make the hamburgers.
That's what's happening. Yeah. And I liked your answer to that: is that you shouldn't have that. That minimum. You should be able to negotiate freely on what wage you should get before.
I've always said that. No, it should be zero minimum wage. You go negotiate. If I'm going to work at a hamburger house, the guy down the street's going to pay me $14 an hour. What can you do for me?
Yeah.
He either says, well, you better go over there, I'll give you $14.50. Whatever the case should be.
Yeah.
We no issues on that. But great, great program.
Well,
these are the, unbelievable.
These are the young men and women that I was always friends with in high school. And back in the day when people were talking about, you know, there's movies out and Revenge of the Nerds and this and that. No, this is a whole different new world we live in. This is the leaders of industry and commerce in all the world. And I always make sure that those are part of my best friends.
Yeah, and they're the way it's going to be happening in the future. And this is the competition.
There's always room for guys like you, you know, the muscle. Like, hey, go get some more tires. Pag Meter, get the tires. And of course, there's guys like me that are in there, like getting close to the engineering aspect. And there's guys like you that are doing the heavy lifting. That's
I mean, guys like
that.
You that are on disability who can't lift a tire.
Well, I have to use my mind. You can still use your brawn.
Is that what it is?
That's basically what it is. I'll bring Johnny Johnson in, and he could use his strength because he still looks like he used to be a defensive back in the day and a hell of an athlete. And now he looks like he could be, you know, outside linebacker for the Saints, or maybe even a five tech down in the trenches playing D tackle. At least he's kept his build. And by the way, before we get into the introductions of that in the clinic and this great business opportunity that's starting out here with teaching skills to young high school guys. I mean, there's always there's always room, in my opinion, Nick, for those who've actually played the game, that have been involved in the game, have taken that into the world of sidelining at a game as a coach, raising a family of stellar athletes as they prepare themselves for giving back. It's always the young men and women that go through that journey, and then they decide, it's also time for me to give back a little bit. And I'm not segueing yet, I don't think, because you'll be the MC of getting us right for that, for the introduction to Johnny Johnson. But there is something to be said, in my opinion, for getting some advice from somebody. You might want to listen. His son might be, since tonight starts draft day, it's draft time. Well, his son, Jalen Johnson, the great all Pac-12 conference, All-American secondary corner for the Utah Utes. And then, of course, Johnny Jr. And then, of course, Johnny Johnson Sr. I think they probably know a little bit about what it takes to become a college-level athlete and more importantly, how to mechanically use your body and your feet to get the best out of what you do at your position.
No question about it. Before we get to Mr. Johnny Johnson, I want to give a May 24th is the City-County All-Star Baseball game. You and I will be involved with
yes.
Chancy Park. But on May 11th, and we're going to have Coach Palacy on next week.
Yeah.
He's running the City-County All-Star Basketball game. May 11th, four games at Bullard High School that day.
Yeah.
And so Coach Campbell versus Coach Blake from Yosemite. So it'll be on the girls' side and the boys' side. Tim Amundsen versus Coach Rosnowski on the boys' side. So four games. And then the City-County basketball dinner is on May the 6th at Tornino's at 6 o'clock. And I'll get you more information on all that. But great day of basketball at Bullard High School. Yeah. Let's get Johnny on the microphone here.
Well, Johnny, and having said it, before we introduce Mr. Johnny Johnson, speaking of all-star girls, Maddie Campbell, got a nice article written up on her in my little Trojan stuff. On her recruitment to USC, why she chose USC, a great Q&A. Just Google Madison Campbell, USC women's basketball, and you'll get a great story, a good piece written down in Southern California on her and her decision to join this top five recruiting class of USC basketball.
You know, we mentioned baseball, and who has the advantage? When you say, with Eric Solberg said, with 11.7 scholarships, how is it easier for a school like Fresno State
to get
a kid compared to a team like USC it is $60,000 a year?
It's a no-brainer. Part of the deterioration, in my opinion, of USC baseball in the advent of 11.7 scholarship limitations is, okay, hey, Mom, Dad, I want to play baseball at USC or Stanford. Let's use Stanford. I'm tired of talking about USC. I want to play baseball at Stanford. Great. Well, the coach thinks I might have a chance. Great. What are they going to give you financially? Well, I get $2,500 a year. It costs $65,000 to $70,000 a year to go to a private school of that nature. There's no way you're going to get the primo prime baseball player.
But Stanford's good every year, though.
They're good every year, and they do very well with what they're afforded to get in there. But the bottom line is the state colleges went out in that area, hands down. Cal State Fullerton, Fresno State, and Arkansas, schools that are state-driven because they can go to a parent and say, look, it's going to cost you $8,000 total. Take a loan out for that. You can afford that. But when you're talking about the tuition and room and board fees of a place like Stanford, how could they possibly get the best athletes to represent? It's just not going to happen.
You mentioned Eric Solberg when Chet Allison is going to go visit Arkansas this weekend. There's 10,000 people a game. Again, how many times have we said the blue states support sports way better than the red states? It's the way it is back there. It's a religion back there when you come check out football, baseball, basketball, and in any sport.
That's
it's
right.
packed all the time, and I love that.
Because most of the blue state folks have a right set of mind. They're in the right direction.
Well, let's bring up Johnny Johnson
enough
now.
Of
he's
that.
Got a big, you know, Coach Johnson, how are you today? Let's say first say that.
I'm fine, thank you.
Let's reverse, though, because we had led it to a point, and then you just hand the baton off. Like, hey, Coach Johnson, how are you?
Well, Coach, let me ask you, because it's 96 degrees, and why do I think 96, it's always football season? It always seems like it's 100 degrees around here.
Well, it's Fresno. So 96 feel like 100 degrees
it
here
really
in Fresno.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell us about what the ideas are coming up with the camp. How'd you get this going?
Okay, well, years ago I always had in my spirit to always want to coach and, you know, coach kids and coach athletes. But for whatever reason, out of fear, out of, you know, respect or whatever the case might be, I chose to do it on the side, you know, to, you know, give back to the kids because I was coached well, had a lot of knowledge, and I wanted to give back. But it's been an unction in me for years and years and years to coach young athletes, and I've been doing that just free of charge, giving back, helping kids out. And I have planted this seed in my kids over the years of them hearing me talk about this vision. So my son, my business partner, Johnny Johnson Jr., a.k.a. Champ, he's called Champ in Fresno. And so he have heard my vision throughout the years, and he was telling me, you know, Dad, write things down, write things down. Fast forward to today, he chose to be part of a training facility, and he said, since you already got the idea, Dad, I'm going to pick up the baton, and I'm going to go ahead and run with it because you're not doing it fast enough. You know, you had all this time, all these years, and you never done it. I'm passionate about it, so I'm going to go ahead and take the baton and be the pilot. I said, son, you go right ahead. I'll co-pilot this thing with you. And so now we decide that we want to train athletes.
Well, go ahead.
We'll talk with Johnny Johnson. Well, before we get into all that, your son, of course, Jalen Johnson, the outstanding defensive back for the Utah Utes. And we got a whole new group of people are going to be going off to college. What? Tell us, tell maybe that you can help them out. Every kid's going to get homesick. He's in Utah. How did Jalen get over that homesickness? Like, God, it's so these days are so long. I hate it. I want to come home. And I don't know if he went through the homesickness, but what do you tell the dad and the mom and dads out there? Their kids are going to go away. How do they get over that?
Well, I think it's a personal thing. You know, Jalen was always mature. You know, from a young boy, he always was mature. So for him, it was a business mindset. So he knew that going off to college, that he was there for strictly business. It wasn't something that he enjoyed being in Utah because of the atmosphere. There's really not a lot of things to do. But because he was, you know, mature enough, he knew that he was there for football and to get his degree. And nothing was going to deter him from coming back and doing anything less than getting his degree and playing football. And matter of fact, he graduated on May 2nd.
Well, I was just going to include the biggest part of me, the most impressive part of Jalen Johnson, as it is with Johnny Jr., Johnny Johnson Jr. Article, once again, I just love to read about local talented athletes and how they arrived. And there's a part of an article, several articles written on Jalen Johnson at Utah and excelling on the football field. But Kyle Whittingham is talking, his head football coach, and then they go into a piece of, we need to point out, you know, yeah, all that great. I said All-American. And yeah, he's also an academic, two-time academic All-American, Pac-12 All-American.
That's beautiful.
His academics are of par. And someone asked him, what about your 3.48, your 3.68, your GPA? Well, I said, well, that's a given. I was raised. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. And the way he said it, you talk about maturity, Mr. Johnson. That to me spoke volumes of who this young guy is, and more importantly, mom and dad and mother involved in the world of education. You've been in corrections. We can talk about that. That's a young man that's got the game figured out. And the game was not to give me all this praise because of my academic excellence. That's a given in my family. That was what we expect to do. That's in the way he said it,
yeah,
told me that, no, that's a guy who's grounded and mature beyond his years. And that's a tribute to you, obviously, your wife, the whole thing, because that was the statement on Jalen Johnson.
And I would guess, Coach Johnny Johnson in the house, I would guess your work is going to start when you leave for college. A lot of these kids go, I'm going to school away. It's going to be easy now. They have no idea what they're getting into, correct?
Correct. And with Jalen, you know, think about Jalen is that, you know, we start preparing him for, you know, separation early. Like in his senior year, you know, he had, you know, a lot of leeway, you know, because he's going to start being on his own. So he was able to spend nights at people's house more often. He was able to be out a little bit later, started giving those responsibilities that he's going to take on as a young man when he's away from his parents.
Yeah.
So we gave him a year head start to start getting that feeling of independency so that when he get off to college, it's like being at home. Okay, there's no difference. I've been at home. I've been away. I spend nights at friends' house. So I was, you know, I was prepping him for college in that way as well.
Of course, his senior year, Jalen Johnson, if he doesn't have the surgery on his shoulder, Central might be a three-peat right now. Because I really thought they were the team to beat. But when he went out, that was a huge weapon.
Well, we talked about it. What I felt was certainly anybody with that type of talent, length, speed, and intelligence out at corner can make things happen. But I was always more impressed when he was in high school.
Yeah.
Said, oh, he is a weapon on the offensive side of the ball. And losing that, I agree with you 100%, losing that as they led into the playoff run for Central, I thought was devastating for another option for Trent Tompkins to throw to. We're going to take a break, come back, visit with Johnny Johnson, the coach, the leader, the mentor, and by the way, a real pillar of our community, because if you've worked in the world of corrections, I think he has developed a few techniques on how to handle and control and to mentor young kids. I think that's very important.
We'll be right back talking football camp May 11th. Don't go anywhere.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here. This is your Rice Show for you Thursday, on a warm Thursday. Drink plenty of water. No one's used to this heat. And with baseball and softball games, Matt, coming around, the teams that are in shape, you're not used to this. You know, it's been 70, 65, 70 degrees all year. All of a sudden, it's 96. You better be drinking water.
You are correct, my friend.
We're talking with Johnny Johnson. Have a big football camp coming up. And, again, it's always football season around here.
Yeah.
And I want to ask both of you guys, because we talk, well, there's 11.7 scholarships in baseball, 15 in softball, 13 in basketball, and there's 85 in football. It just seems to me around here, and maybe you guys help me out, I don't see a lot of scholarships in basketball in this area, central section area, but there's plenty of scholarships to be handed out in football. Am I right?
Well, yeah. Obviously, that's purely a numbers game. And it might be worth mentioning, too, before I go any too much further into this interview with the great Johnny Johnson and the great family, and you know, Johnny Jr. and Jalen. And Jalen, that's Jalen's mother, but you're remarried, and that's your ex-wife. And I wanted to be clear to you, I didn't want to, you know, I've been a friend of yours for a while. I didn't want to, anyway,
way to
upset
go,
you. Yeah, but yeah,
it's all good, man.
We love your wife, yeah. And your ex-wife, obviously.
Johnny,
Matt's
been known to put his foot in his mouth many times, and so we took care of it.
Oh, yes.
So let me answer that question from my perspective for basketball. I feel that basketball in the Central Valley has been watered down, dummy downed. And because of the system that they run around here, the kids don't have opportunity to think. They're told to go to a spot, to dribble, drive. It's not teaching fundamental basketball.
For the next level.
For the next level. And that's why no college scouts come in and watch our kids. We have talent, but because everything is a copycat system, because it worked for this coach at this place, so let's go ahead and run that offense for us. It's like no different in football.
Like
if you got
key.
If you got athletes and tailbacks and running, and wide receivers, then why would you condense everything down and run the wing T?
Yeah.
No, you run with what you have, you know, talent wise.
Yeah.
So I think the talent in basketball is great here, but because the coaches have dummied it down, in my opinion, and came up with the system, basketball, to where it's either a layup or three-pointer, that's not real basketball. These kids don't know how to do basic pick and rolls. They don't know how to have you know proper footwork on setting screens. They don't know how to defend screens. So, therefore, we're behind in basketball.
And I totally agree. My element, though, coming down to just pure numbers, football, Division I for that matter, and there's well over 100 of those programs, they offer 25 scholarships a year or more if you blue shirt and all that. Basketball, pure number-wise, they don't have enough scholarships to give to all the great talent around.
Well, I think the bottom line is we don't have the talent here in the Valley like Johnny Johnson said.
Johnny said talent. We have talent, but we don't have the coached and controlled talent that will necessarily translate, coupled with the idea that football, without any question, which just goes to your camp, is going to afford you the best opportunity to get your education paid for. There's no secrets about
that.
There's too many scholarship available.
So if you're an athlete that plays football and basketball, and it seems like the guys that are mixed 50-50, they like basketball better because basketball is easier. You can be in the gym. It's not so hot outside. And that's to me, that's the red flag right there. If you don't like to play football outside during the summer, you have no chance of playing at the next level. Go try to play basketball, and you're not going to go anywhere, probably. But that's what I see. But if you like both, you better start focusing on football a little more.
Yes, I tell kids this all the time. I say, if you are a basketball player and you're a guard and you're not a Steph Curry, a Allen Iverson, you're not a Kyrie Irving, then you're not special. Basketball, you have to be special. There's a lot of kids throughout the country that's doing way more than what you do. So I tell the kid, if you 6 foot and playing guard, you just average. You 6 foot guy playing corner, you elite. Just on your size alone, you're already getting looked at. It's called the eyeball test. You don't pass the eyeball test in basketball at 6 foot, but you pass the eyeball test at corner if you 6'1 or 6 foot, 6'2 safety, automatically just coaches be like, okay, that's a project that I could work with, and you are more likely to get a scholarship in football because you are special at 6'2 playing DB versus a 6'2 guard. You got to be special.
There's a million 6'2 guards.
Exactly.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Which does translate, right, Coach, into the world of being special in football. Now you got into college. Now to go to the next level in the NFL, what pops off the screen at corner or safety as a defensive back? Good size, got it. But now you got to be really special, and that little 40-timer's got to light up. Because if you can be all that, and then you worked your mechanics with the help of a Johnny Johnson in the program he's going to talk about to be able to move functionally correct, now we've got a guy with supple hips, great feet, gets in and out of his breaks, knows how to run properly. Now you got yourself a chance to go get paid in the game as opposed to waiting for your opportunity because you were Allen Iverson. Great analogy. I see it all the time. I don't want to get on. Let's get into not just your camp, skill development camp, which, by the way, tell us about that event. But the thing that stood out to me when you sent us the message and I got the link to see the brochure and everything for the camp, how many guys offer something this great at the price point that you're leaving it at? So let's talk about your camp, the day, the time, and the cost for these kids. Like $5, $10. You're getting taught some great stuff, some gems of activity. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, thank you, Matt. Well, yes, you know, the camp is May 11th. It's, we have two sessions. We have a session for the junior elites, and that's from 4th grade to 7th grade, and that's from 8 to 10 p.m., 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and we have the elite class, which is 8th graders to 11th grade, and it's 1 to 3. And basically, you know, my business partner and I, it wasn't about trying to make a fortune off the kids here in Fresno. It was more about, okay, let's get the masses. You know, the kids have not been taught a whole lot, so we want to get them out so they can see exactly what we do. You know, my business partner and I, you know, we take a lot of pride in this, and we want the kids to see that the things that we're doing is effective and is affordable, because the type of training that we offer, one-on-one group sessions, anywhere in L.A. and up in the Bay, it's $80 to $100 an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a price sheet here to where we charge $25 to $30 an hour for special training.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what's the number one thing? And let's start with the defensive backfield, corners, safeties, guys who cover down on linebacker, slot receiver types. What's the one thing that you think is really we're not doing a good enough service in this world of high school athletics to teach the kids or the youth in that gym?
Well, I feel that, it's like basketball around here. I just feel that the kids around here have not been taught good functional football movements on the field.
Yeah.
You know, are they getting movements? Yes, but they're not getting drill-specific movements. They're not getting the things they need to aspire and be better than what they are. You
right.
know what I mean? I feel that they need, you know, functional movements within their position. And not only that, anybody can teach you functional movement, but with us at EAT, and EAT stands for Elite Athletic Transformation, Building Athletes from the Ground Up. And we feel that with our business that we're hands-on.
Johnny Johnson in the house. One thing I learned watching, I watch plenty of baseball, and I see a lot of baseball players only playing one sport now. And what kills me is they can't compete. I see a lot of kids, I play 12 months out of the year baseball. If they played another sport, for example, football, and I talked to a lot of baseball recruiters from college, they say, we love football players that play baseball because they're mentally tougher. And I just tell all the parents out there, you think you're going to be playing for the Angels someday, don't be afraid to get your kid a little tougher and play football. Do you see multi-sport athletes? Jalen played basketball and football. What do you think of the multi-sport guys?
Well, you know, it showed their talent level. It showed that they not just one-dimensional, that they could play basketball. It shows their different athleticism. Basketball is more lateral quickness. It shows that. It shows, you know, football is a tough sport. You know, like there's a saying that said football is the only sport with a point. All other balls are round. Football has a point. All other sports don't. But I think, you know, those athletes who play, you know, multiple sports like football, they teach you, you know, that mental toughness. They teach you that ground. They teach you to, you know, to dig in and not give up. More other sports is more like individual, and you kind of give up on yourself. But you got 11 other guys that depending on you, that you got to do your job. And it's grueling. You know, you wear a helmet. It's hot. You know, you got pads on your legs and tugs and everything get real, you know, like mentally challenging for you.
How many guys? I mean, I know one, and that would be, you know, Tim McDonald, who had his son still playing football. That's TJ, safety, and then, of course, Tevin, two defensive backfield types. Let's not, like, take lightly, though, the fact that Johnny Johnson Jr., who's been trained at he's been at UCLA, obviously, and got trained. But did he go to UCLA right out of high school?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was thinking of Courtney Viney, who played at UCLA, then went to New Mexico State. But Johnny Johnson, the junior, how many times do you get a chance? You know, boy, your Thanksgiving dinners, it must be spectacular talking about the world of secondary play. I mean, because Johnny Jr., is that, I don't want to disrespect the family, two sons? Is there another kid? Because I'm still looking.
That's it for the boys.
Okay, the two boys. Different coaching philosophies, and they come and say, no, my coach has got me doing it this way. My coach told me to do it this way. Do you have much talk like that around the house during the holidays?
Well, yes. You know, and from elementary to high school, it was pretty much the philosophy I instilled in them.
Yeah.
When it went to the next level,
yeah.
I know in order to be successful that you have to be able to do it their way.
Yeah, right.
So I know that there's a technique that we, you know, taught around our house. It's called motor mirror.
Yeah.
Well, at UCLA, they taught kick step, pier step, or pier step, kick step.
Yep.
Well, he had to learn how to do that because that was something that we didn't train or taught. So he had to adapt to that coach technique.
Yeah.
And being a good athlete, you know, he was able to do that.
Yeah.
Johnny Johnson in the house talking the elite football camp on May 11th. I get so many emails are starting to fly in. So how do they sign up, and what do they need? What do these kids need to show up? Let's say I got two different ones, grade 4 through 7th and also 8th through 11th. What do they need to show up on that on May 11th?
Well, I'm sure with a good attitude, ready to play.
They need cleats, all that
good
stuff?
Yes, you need cleats. Okay. It's not mandatory, but if you had cleats, it'd make it better because we are on grass. So, you know, we don't want the athletes to slip. But if a kid do not have cleats, don't let that, you know, be a determining factor not to come out. Still come out. Bring a water bottle. There's going to be water provided, but also bring additional water. And if you want to sign up, we have a website called eatcamp.eventbrite.com, and it's on the flyer. Once again, that's sign up at eatcamp.eventbrite.com, and the cost is $15.
And I'll have this on my Twitter site, too, so if you guys want to just follow the PAG meter, at PAG meter on Twitter, I'll get this all information for you. I think it's a good time because these guys are going to help you. If you're a kid, what do I need to do from May, June, July until football starts? And you're going to prepare them for the summer, what you guys need. I think it's big.
Absolutely, PAG meter. Also, too, I'd like to also say that we have, you know, also, too, we do like team packages. So if there's the teams out there that has a team of kids that need to be trained in football movements or position specific drills, then we come out and do a team training for, you know, the school. And if the school don't have the budget to pay for the athletes, then we tell the athletes, here's a letter, take home to your parents. It's optional for you to attend this training with us. It turns out to be $12.50 per session, and then we get two sessions a week for eight sessions a month. That's $100 an athlete at their school. And if they don't want to do that package and they want an individual training with me or my business partner, then that's $30 a session, one-on-one with our elite coach. And we would train them for 1 hour personally, one-on-one. Or we have group trainings to where we have a package for eight sessions, $175 for eight sessions, and you have 2 months to complete your sessions. So you go twice a week. for a whole month, that's $175. So that's a $65 savings if you get the 8 package versus the individual package of 30. And once again, it's hands-on, it's functional movements, it's positional movements. It's, you know, it's over 40 years of experience in playing with that coaching staff. You know, we focus on footwork coordination, agility, sports intelligence, and we focus on the why behind everything that we do. Not just do it, but it's the why. And we also want the kids to understand that the foundation, and also understand the foundation of what we're doing. Not just doing something without understanding why you do it. You know, is the reason why you head whip. You head whip when a receiver getting your blind spot and you cannot see him no more, so you have to do a speed turn or head whip. We also want to educate the kids with terminology, because my thing is we want to train your kid, your athlete, to where when he goes to the school, all the coach has to do is teach their scheme. Once again, we do not teach scheme here at either athletics. There's no scheme involved. It's all fundamentals. We don't teach scheme at all. We're not involved with 707. We are our own entity, and we're not here to recruit for high schools or anything like that. We're independent. We're not 717. We're not high school recruiting.
I got one email, Manny.
Yep. Go ahead.
He's saying my kid's going to be a seventh grader and he wants to be a quarterback. Do you guys work with quarterbacks?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there. So quarterbacks, yes, you need quarterbacks out there to throw to the receivers.
Right. So at the campus, it's going to be one on ones. It's going to be one on one competition. And
bring your own football, right?
Yes, please bring your own football. It's going to be obstacle course. It's going to be, you know, a strongest man competition. It's going to be a fun day. You know, it's going to be a fun field day. Come out. It's kind of like, you know, who we are, what we do, you know, kind of thing. It's $15. Come out. I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but come out, enjoy yourself, have a blast. You know, be coached by some of the, you know, the great coaches that we have here around the valley that have been handpicked by myself and my business partner, because we feel that they exemplify the things that we teach and the things that we believe.
And Jalen's going to be there as well speaking.
Yes.
Jalen Johnson.
Yes, he will be here speaking.
And you can ask many questions, because I think it's important. If you're going to go out of town to go to school, and I don't care if you're robotics, playing badminton, or played football or baseball, basketball, whatever, ask Jalen, what is it like? What do I need to know to go at the next level? Because every kid gets homesick. So maybe you can just pick his brain, because I think there's a lot of schools, Johnny Johnson and Matt, you tell me that they got great weightlifting program early morning, and other schools don't, and they're not prepared for that at the next level. Right? Wrong?
No, yeah, no doubt. Everything's different.
Well, I just want them to know it's not easy going the next level. You better be prepared, because it's like a full-time job. That's what I'm trying to get at.
It is a full-time job. I would tell athletes, I told my own son, I said, once you leave high school, it's no longer fun. It's a job. Matt and I know, coaches says academics and football, but we know it's football. In academics, everything is evolved around football, because football is paying the check. So once you go there, it's a full-time grueling job, and you have to be mentally prepared as well as physically prepared. But I think it's more of the mental, because it's a grind.
Well, Johnny, thanks for coming in today. I will have it on my Twitter feed. May 11th is the football camp. If you have any questions, just go to the PAG Meter Twitter, and I'll keep you updated.
Also, real quick, PAG. We're on Twitter at Eat Athletics. We also is on Instagram at Eat Athletics as well. So IG, Eat Athletics, and Twitter at Eat Athletics as well. So
I will tag you all into that.
Thank
so
you.
We can
definitely.
Know that.
Definitely.
All right, let's take a break. We're live at Fashion Furniture. It's your Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Coming up next is Tony D, who gets you Fresno State going. The talk will be Fresno State. Baseball team is on fire. Softball team doing a fantastic job. It's the PAG Meter. It's Matty J here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. They got sales galore going on. I'm seeing the closeout sales all over the place, Matt.
Yes, sir. Container pricing available.
No question. I want to thank the Madtown Robotics team. We'll be out there on Saturday.
The parade and all that, and then leading into the play-by-play. It starts in the morning at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. on Saturday. I want to thank Johnny Johnson.
It might be
May
9. 11. Don't hold me to that. I thought he said 10 o'clock. The parade, they meet at the Madera Unified School District office, and they pull out from there.
hopefully we'll get that to him. I want to thank Johnny Johnson. Big football camp on May 11th. I'll have it on my PagMeter Twitter for everybody. And I think it's a good time to do a football camp. It gets you ready for the summer. What do I need to work on?
Yeah, May is always traditionally the best time involved.
Yeah, no question about it. So we will keep you updated because it is – it's always football season around here. It really is. It's always football season. Even if you're playing another sport, it's football season.
That's right. And it's a singular camp, and it's not a 7-on-7 thing we're talking about. They do, you know, they don't teach scheme. That's why I like when you're talking about that kind of stuff with Johnny Johnson is that, you know, we're not trying to take all your kids from all these variety of high schools and junior highs and elementary school kids and then teach them how to run cover two, how they like to run their fire zone principles, and when the coach at high school has been teaching all wrong. They're just teaching kids. When I came out of high school and USC said, oh, by the way, you're no longer going to throw the ball or catch the ball, you're going to play defensive back, my back pedal was atrocious, and I needed someone to be a doctor to teach me how to move functionally, how to set up leverage on somebody, and how to play with good movement. And I think that's what we're talking about here. I don't think that's what I know we're talking about. So as a coach, high school coach, that's what struck me as something that's very valuable. My kids aren't going to come back to me and say, no, Coach, Coach Johnson told us that we're running the wrong defense for what we are all built like. No, what you're doing is you're moving correctly now. I love it.
And he's so correct, too, about the wing tee and basketball-wise. And maybe that's the reason we're not seeing the big scholarships around here. And I've always said, Matt, in basketball, if you're not LeBron, Kobe, or Shaquille, you're not going to play at the next level.
And I've always said, based on population, totally agreeing with what Coach Johnson just said about fighting off a screen, just the little mechanical stuff that we don't seem to do very well, apparently. I'm not really into that. I don't know. But what I do know is this. We get a lot of basketball recruits relative to the community that we live in. Off the charts crazy good. Where are all the basketball? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're talking about basketball not getting as many scholarships. What's the predominant sport in our valley?
Football.
Thank you. What do we primarily turn out in bigger volume? Football scholarships. Why? Well, last I checked, there's 50, 60 of us dudes in each school running around. And 15 to 20 seniors every year. How many do the numbers? It's all numbers. I've always been amazed in the Central Valley how many superb, in all sports, athletes we turn out compared to the real demographic and the number of people we have. My point is this, not that you're trying to do this, but don't compare, oh, there was only, you know, Jalen Green, he's going off to, well, yeah. Well, how many Kendall Miltons are there? Or Jalen Johnsons, relatively speaking? About the same ratio. About the same ratio. Either you're great or you're not. And if you're not great, a lot of kids are going off to other colleges in football, but they're not off the charts like Coach was saying about Allen Iverson or Steph Curry. How many of those guys are out there anyway in the big picture that are going to go sell?
Here.
Not many at all. We had a pretty good guy, Colin Slater, great little basketball player. Was he unique and special in any major regard? Well, he looked pretty explosive and did some things, and he went to Tulane University. Kendall Milton could go play at Alabama right now. Jalen Johnson's being recruited by the Trojans, everybody. There's only a handful of those kind of people.
Well, there's only a few every 30 years, Jalen Green of the world. I mean, we won't see that again.
That's what I'm saying. That's just
rare.
It's rare that
he's gone now.
Those kinds of athletes, and there's more coming. Jalen McMillan at San Joaquin Memorial. He could go pretty much any place he wants to go.
So I put it in order for our valley, not just state, but our valley.
Yeah.
Football's number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go baseball number two.
Certainly.
I'm going to go softball number three, girls basketball four, and on the bottom, way down yonder, maybe just badminton before boys basketball, because there's a lot of badminton players that are getting scholarships because those girls are smart. Okay.
Now you're just trying to pick a fight with me. Now you're just pushing. It's like you're that guy.
I'm just saying this year we have no scholarships to give out for basketball. None.
Right.
Zero.
Now, do you consider Monterey Peninsula? Do you consider, Seabiscuit College a scholarship? Because there's lots of those.
Well, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not hearing anything. So keep the PAG meter updated.
Keep them updated.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I say zero, you know I'm exaggerating. There's probably going to be about 10, maybe 5 to 10 this year.
Yeah.
But, we got a long way to go.
It goes to show you, though, now in this NBA playoff run that we're seeing right now, the spectacular. Who has the best athletes? Short of a cornerback or a wide receiver you're getting ready to see in the draft tonight.
Yeah.
Basketball. Hey, basketball is the most phenomenal athletic people you're
ever
going to
find. I
want
to give a love out to Sean O'Roberts, though, from Clovis East. He's going to University of Antelope Valley College. So he'll be playing basketball there.
The University of Antelope Valley. Well, how about just Antelope Valley College?
Okay, Antelope Valley College.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
We just call it what it is? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I like
and
it.
And I'm sure there's plenty more lining up for City
College.
Sean
had
City
a great senior year.
Yeah, City fantastic. College, West Hills, Reedley, COS. They're lining up. They're going to college.
No question about it. That's all I'm trying to say is it's a game out there. We tried to talk about it in the first hour where baseball, boy, I gave that other kid a lot of money. I'm going to have to give you a partial. They have 11.7
scholarships. 11.7. That, by the way, isn't what they give out every year. College football gives out approximately 25 a year. No. We're talking about on your entire roster, you have 11.7 scholarships, meaning whatever that financial scholarship entails money-wise, you've got 11.7
of those to give out. You would think to me, if you're right, because Arkansas, as Eric Solberg said, they get 10,000 people a game for baseball. I was at Lafayette,
sometimes.
Louisiana, and they were packed when the Texas Longhorns were in.
Yeah.
Back in the blue states, it's a religion.
But
Fresno State, we're not getting anything.
I would say, but you know,
so they're going to keep it fair,
right?
Because
of ESPN's affiliation with the Southeast Conference, I tune in a lot late night, and college baseball, who's playing? And it's Alabama playing LSU, whatever. And I'd like to tell you that it's an epidemic in lack of fan production because they're not getting – if you're going to tell me right now, of course I would immediately call, you know what on it and say it's total fiction. Arkansas baseball doesn't get 10,000 people per game. No way, no how, not even close in that ballpark.
All I'm saying
because
is
I tuned in and watched LSU play, I think it was Texas A&M baseball on ESPN, and there might have been 800 people in attendance.
Could have been a Thursday night. Who
they
knows?
Certainly lead the fanatical fandom of the America in those blue states you're talking about. But I guarantee you, numbers are down everywhere.
I was in Lafayette, Louisiana on a Sunday.
Everywhere.
2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 plus
yep.
fans. And I was like,
yep.
This is outstanding
yep.
for college baseball.
And it was. It was Lafayette, Louisiana. It was redneck night. You had a certain night.
No,
you got it.
And Texas Longhorns. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go. The Longhorns were in town.
It doesn't matter.
How do they look when the Rage and Slippers out of Northeast Louisiana Technical Institute come to town? There's three people in attendance.
8,211.
God, Target, you're such a...
I'm just letting
you know. The Longhorns were in town.
No, what I'm saying, Matt, and I get it.
Yes.
Because there's no way if they said, you know what, we have enough to pay for an extra coach, we're going to have a whole bunch of other scholarships because we can pay for our own. And then you got Fresno State, who's
yes.
the crowd's dwindling, and they're not making any money in
yes.
baseball, but they got a great team. They got to make the even playing field.
Yeah,
I get it.
I would legislate that there should be no restrictions from NCAA on what the heck I can do at my university. I don't know why there is. Because one person said, well, if they did that, then Alabama would get everything. Well, don't they get everything already? Doesn't the big schools get all the facilities and everything they need already? So you're going to tell them that they can't recruit more? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Tease everyone right at the buzzer.
That's communism.
Coming off.
Thank
here.
You. That's what we do.
I want to thank Eric Solberg, Madera Madtown, world champion robotics team, Johnny
yes.
Johnson. The big camp is May 11th. Next week, Coach Mike Pelosi will be in here. And we're going to talk plenty of basketball because the Valley Champion playoffs start in 2 weeks. It's amazing. But baseball and softball are cranking up now.
And track and field is yep. coming. And before long, the state championships will be right there at the Veterans Stadium on Buchanan's campus.
Tony D coming up next. I want to thank Russ and Bobby Boy here and Vivian picking up the pizza. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.